He had a Hall of Fame career on the field.
Paul Molitor is the first player in the history of baseball to get a triple on his 3,000th hit.
And now he's making out the lineup card for his hometown team.
I'd like to introduce the 13th manager of the Minnesota Twins, Paul Molitor.
This is the Paul Molitor Show, your chance to hear directly from the manager on the state of your team. Now, here are your hosts, Chris Atterbury and Jack Morris.
Well, that's half right. Chris Atterbury here in studio here at Target Field. Paul Molitor joining us in the early morning hours of the Bay Area. Glad to have Paul on board. Jack Morris is in the Bay Area as well, and he is, as he likes to say, 10 toes up this morning, probably still snoring after working late last night. We gave Jack the day off. Paul, no such luck for you, and we appreciate the early wake-up call and you joining us here today on the Paul Molitor Show. How are you, sir?
I'm doing fine, Chris. Trying to be ready for another good day out here in the Bay Area. They actually talked about a little rain here today, which doesn't happen very often. But, no question, a really tough loss last night after, making an incredible comeback once again in the ninth inning. But, you just kind of learn from those type of things and regroup and hopefully come back out today and try to win a series.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up because last night was a very interesting game. The starting pitchers were fantastic throughout the course of the night on both sides. Obviously, you guys come up short in the early scoring opportunity right out of the gate, and hey, that's going to happen against a quality arm like Kazmir, who's going to take that ball and run with it. But to me, late in the game, it was funny, the 0-2 pitches. Torrey gets hit on an 0-2 pitch to set up a phenomenal at-bat for Joe. And then Casey Fien has Burns 0-2 in the 10th inning as well. Generally, Casey's been able to put the hammer down in those situations, but it wasn't the case last night.
Well, those were a couple really good examples of, how good hitters somehow try to find a way to get back into counts and try to make something good happen even when they fall behind. Casey came in there, and that was tough. It seemed like it kind of shell-shocked him a little bit after the Burns found a way to get that extra base hit and kind of lost track, and things got sped up. The next thing you know, he steals third, and we're walking off the field. But it was a good game, obviously. I think that missed opportunity in the first inning was something that kind of, you just had that feeling that we might come back to bite you at some point, and sure enough, not getting some runs early were a big part of that game and not coming up on the wing end.
And it's funny because so often the Twins have had crazy things happen in that ballpark. I recall being at a game where the Twins lost a 9-run lead, came back to tie it, ended up losing in 12. So many strange things. You played over 80 games at the Coliseum against what were some phenomenal and very talented A's teams through the years. What is it about that particular ballpark? It's unlike, at this point in time, really any ballpark in the Major League Baseball.
Yeah, you're right about some strange things that happened there. I remember the Twins playoff game there back in 2002, whatever
mm-hmm,
it was,
yeah.
and the Twins came around and I couldn't catch a pop up, and just bad things kept happening, and yet they found a way to win that game. But I don't know, it just has a different feel than most parks. It's the way it's set up, the foul ground territory, the cool air at night. It just has a different feel. It seems like it's tough to score, especially in night games. It just seems like the ball hangs out. There's a lot of defenders out there. I don't know. I never really looked it up, but I got a feeling it was one of my worst parks to play in as far as hitting. It just was never a park that I felt very comfortable in the batter's box. I felt like the mound was always a little higher, and you're kind of out there sitting in the middle of the field. Just a different place to play.
Yeah, we did look it up, and you hit about 283 there. So if that was your worst park, that's not a bad line to draw, Paul. That's not a bad line at all. So
that's better than I would have predicted.
I wish Jack was with us because he could talk about how he destroyed the water cooler there when he gave up two steals of home to a slow runner at that ballpark against Billy Martin's A's back in the days. Maybe that's why Jack isn't with us. Another note on last night, and then we'll move forward. Ryan O'Rourke, he came in and was in line to potentially pick up his first win. You've known Ryan quite a while through his time in the minor leagues. He has seemingly really come out of your bullpen in his four outings now and done everything you've asked him to do.
It's been nice to give him some opportunities, especially in some, significant situations, to just kind of got a feel with what we have. Obviously you don't want to get too far ahead of yourself, but he's responded, in the minor leagues, always good numbers against left-handers. Righties not so well. And he's had a little trouble throwing over from time to time, even his walk to innings ratio this year was a little bit of an attention getter, but he's thrown it over. He's gotten big outs. It's just kind of a nice compliment to Dunsing out there, because Dunsing's been pitching the ball a lot better over the last 4 to 6 weeks, too. So the left-handed side of the bullpen's been cleaned up a little bit. It would have been great to have gotten him his first win last night, but he has to feel good about how he's pitching. I know that we are gaining confidence every time we put him out there.
Paul Molitor is our guest. He's the star of our show. It's the Paul Molitor Show, an early morning out by the bay as the Twins try to win a series today. If you'd like to join us as we move forward, 877-38-TWINS. That's 877-388-9467. We'll take a break, grab a little coffee. We're back with more in a moment on your home for Twins baseball. Chris Atterbury welcoming you back on a Sunday morning to the Paul Molitor Show. The Twins manager kind enough to join us from the West Coast later today. Twins try to win a series in Oakland. It's been a tough place for the Twins to win, but they've already secured a season series, and they'll go for a series victory here today before heading south to visit the Angels in Anaheim later on this week. And, Paul, it's kind of an odd show because just two games under our belt since the All-Star break, and we don't want to dwell too much on the break. And I go back to Brian Dozier, though, who started the second half by becoming just the third Twin to homer to open the post-All-Star game schedule in Twins history. Last year, 18 homers before the break, wore down a little bit, just 5 home runs after the break. Is he a different guy this year? And as a player, do you learn from something like that to kind of understand where you are body-wise, swing-wise, longer through the grind of a full season? And are you seeing that from Brian this year?
Well, I think you do learn from that. You know, we can't predict exactly how his second half is going to go. I think that, just trying to figure out some of the reasons as you evaluate your season and why the second half may have been a little bit more challenging for him. It's not like he's going to go out and hit 38 home runs. I mean, I don't think anybody expects that to happen, but I think you find ways to try to sustain yourself, find little maintenance things that keep you going. And I've talked to him many times about, and he does not want to come out of that lineup, but I talked to him about when there's a chance, we're going to try to at least get you a couple games to keep you fresh. It's a challenging thing to do. Him and Trevor and Joe, even Torrey to some degree, they're playing a really lot of baseball, and they both love being out there. They all love being out there every day, but, we got to be a little bit smart about it going through the second half as well.
Yeah, that kind of bridges right into my next question, which was something you would hit on throughout the course of the first half was, hey, I'm going to DH Joe here. I'm going to go ahead and give Torrey a day here. And that was all kind of for this time of the year, correct? Kind of building up towards maybe having more gas left in the tank for these last few months?
Well, it was when we were kind of rotating that position a little bit more, even when Vargas was here, I had a little more flexibility in how to get both Torrey and Joe into that position now and then. It's been tougher now that Sanoa's come up and he's kind of taken that job over for at least for the most part. But we'll see how we can still make it work now and then. People, I'm not sure, are aware. Last night, Sanoa had a little bit of an ankle injury before the game, stepped on a ball during batting practice, and it seemed like it kind of stiffened up as the game went on. So he might be questionable today. I'll find out when I get to the park. But when those kind of things happen, you can change your lineup around and give those guys a little bit of a break, too.
Well, you mentioned Miguel, and I don't think most people realize that he had stepped on a ball and was playing on a bum ankle. I know he had a tough time with Scott Kazmir, which is part of the learning process. A lot of guys had a tough time with Scott Kazmir last night. But what a mature at bat late in the ball game to give you a 2-1 lead, and that's become almost the norm for Sano here in his first turn through the league.
Well, it was good to see. His two toughest games so far have come against left-handed pitching, both, Price and Kazmir. Kazmir got him kind of sped up a little bit in that first at bat when he reached back. I think he threw his hardest pitch of the night at 95. And Sano was his first at bat. He got a big strikeout there, and then he kind of started, using the off-speed, the change-ups, and every time he walked back to the dugout, I'd say after the first inning, you got 3 more, and then the next one, you got 2 more, and then you got 1 more. You always have your next at bat, and so I was proud of him that he was able to respond and put that ball in play and get that second run on the board.
Paul Molitor is with us from the West Coast. It's the Paul Molitor Show. We'll take another break. When we come back, talk a little bit about starting pitching. We'll catch up on Irvin Santana's third start as a Twin, as well as today's starter, Tommy Malone, the former A. It's all straight ahead on your home for Twins baseball. Welcome back to the Paul Molitor Show. It's the start of a big day across our network just after 2 o'clock Central Time. Corey Provis, Terry Ryan on Inside Twins. I'm sure they'll be discussing the imminent trade deadline. Then at 2:30, we've got our pregame lineup card, followed by first pitch, Tommy Malone for the Twins, opposite Jesse Chavez for the A's rubber match of this three-game series. Let's start with Irvin Santana, though. Irvin made his third start for you, Paul, coming out of the All-Star break, and obviously a guy who values every start he's going to be able to get in this year, and he certainly showed no ill effects of a layover, or a layoff, I should say, through the break. And against a team in Oakland that struggled with the bats, boy, he laid the formula out there. You don't have to throw hard necessarily to keep this A's offense off balance, and he mixed up the off-speed stuff beautifully.
He did do that. You know, I have to admit that I'm watching the start of that game, and you know, you kind of keep an eye on the clock and the ballpark now and then, just to see where a guy's at on a given day. And I see the 89 and the 88 and the 90, and I'm just thinking, well, you know, he's just kind of starting out, kind of protecting himself a little bit, but he stayed that way the whole game for the most part. And I think he maybe had a little talk with himself after his second start when his location was off and maybe he was trying to overthrow a little bit, that it was almost a decision that I was just going to really focus on making sure I get my pitches where I want to and hope the break or the speed or the movement is going to be effective enough in the West for sure. It was great to see him come out and get that first win as a Twin and get the road trip off to a good start.
Now, you mentioned the lack of velocity. That's something that Phil Hughes has talked about literally all season long. Any idea, and is this a familiar scenario? Has this happened before when a guy just suddenly loses a few miles per hour?
Well, I think in Santana's case, he'll be fine. I think there's going to be times where we will see him kind of jump up there a little bit. Phil has been a little bit more extended period this year where he just hasn't had that gear that we saw last year at times when, you know, he touched 93, 94. I think last night there was a couple 92s mixed in there. But I think that he's got a better feel of his pitches. You know, we saw last night, you know, a combination of you know, using the two-seam, the four-seam, the cutter, and the curveball, mixed in some changeups last night. Just more confidence in how he's executing those pitches. So it was good to see him come back and have a good start, too. The Bubba home run, really didn't think it was out when he hit it. But the ballpark's been strange here the first couple of nights. Some balls really getting knocked down out there to left field, and then some balls taken off. That home run certainly seemed like it got a little boost. But anyways, yeah, Phil came back with a really good game for us, too.
Yeah, it's not unusual to hear pitchers say they think balls got a boost, but even Trevor Plouffe said he felt like his ball got a boost the other night. Rarely do you hear a pitcher, or a hitter, I should say, admit that they got help getting one out of the ballpark. Tommy Malone tonight, he pitched obviously in Oakland for the A's. He's been fantastic for you since he came back from AAA. What's the biggest difference for Tommy Malone since he's been recalled?
Well, you know, we talk a lot about our starting pitching and how it's been a really huge part of what we've been able to accomplish here through 90-plus games. Tommy getting the opportunity over here after coming over from Oakland and trying to pitch through that neck injury last year. I think this year he's just kind of, gotten back to maybe what was successful for him in his days as an Oakland A. Understand that you're not going to blow people away, but your stuff is plenty good to get people out. You're not a guy who can pitch from behind very often, very effectively. More of an aggressive mindset of attacking. And, you know, success breeds success. I think when he went down to AAA and kind of got a feel of how to pitch back into that mode, he's been able to carry it over here for the most part. It's been very welcomed by us, especially adding that left-hander into the rotation. So hopefully he gets the second off to a good start today.
Yeah, and the A's have struggled with lefties this year. Now, Eric Fryer caught Malone when he was in Rochester, and he had that 30-plus inning streak without allowing a run. Caught him up here as well when he was recalled. Will we see Fryer coupled with Malone today?
Eric will play again today. I don't have it all worked out, some depending on Sano, Good chance Santana might be back in there at shortstop today. But, yeah, I like the Fryer-Malone matchup. You know, Fryer's only played a couple games here, but, you know, guys are very comfortable with him and how he catches and how he calls games. Very good receiver, very good thrower, putting together some good at-bats. But I like him and Tommy, obviously aware of what they did down there in Rochester, and the last outing was really good together.
Yeah, we were a little concerned because we're sitting here in the ballpark. They got the concert going on. Every act that played, Paul, had a guitarist that looked like the spitting image of Eric Fryer. We were trying to make sure that, you know, Fryer made the trip and he wasn't here wailing away on his guitar.
Yeah, how was that going for the big show up there?
Well, I will say this. There were a lot of happy people here, but the Twins are now 0-3 when Kenny Chesney plays at Target Field, so I'm hoping you guys can change that today.
Either that or just get someone else, right?
I keep telling Mr. St. Peter the Twins have never lost a game when Springsteen played Target Field or when Pearl Jam played Target Field, but
yeah.
Deaf ears, you know, that's going to have to come from a better voice than mine.
Well, I was thinking this morning, I think we've done fairly well on Saturdays heading into the show too this season, but not so much case to last night.
Yeah, well, it was thrilling, that's for sure. And the extra innings allowed us to avoid the concert traffic, so we owe you for that one as well.
There you go.
We'll take our last break. We'll come back, get a couple of injury updates with Paul Molitor right here on your home for Twins Baseball. It's the Paul Molitor Show. Glad to have you with us on a Sunday morning. Pleased to have Paul up early today out on the West Coast as his Twins look to take a series from the A's. To do that, Paul, you're going to have to solve Jesse Chavez. He does not look like your central casting right-hander. He's not your 6'5", 230-pound guy with the broad shoulders. He looks like he strode off the set of a cowboy movie. All he does is just keeps getting everybody out. He's a pretty salty guy on the mound.
Well, he can really sling it up there. Not being a big guy withstanding, he pitched a really good game against us earlier this year. I've seen him now for a few years. He's one of those guys that really seems to show up against the Twins. Annabelle Sanchez, too, who's had a little bit of a rough year. One of those kind of guys. But, he's tough. He sinker, slider, changeup, all those things that work. He's pretty effective against left-hand hitters. The Oakland team, I think they're leading the American League in starters ERA or maybe even as an entire staff. They can throw some pitching at you, and Chavez is part of that reason.
Yeah, they're very deep as far as what they do on the mound. As far as depth with you guys, a couple of parts of your combination, your formula, are on the injured list. Byron Buxton included. How's his thumb coming along? I know he's been at the ballpark before the break, working on the rehab here and being around the guys. How's Byron coming along?
Well, the days and weeks are starting to mount up. I do think there's been a lot of improvement there. He went home to Georgia during the break. And was just mainly working on strengthening exercises. He did have a passing in his family over the All-Star break, so he has extended his stay down there a little bit. We expect him back in the Twin Cities early part of next week, and hopefully the baseball activity will start up real soon.
Yeah, take care of that family stuff certainly first before he gets back here to Minnesota. Now, as long as we're talking about multi-talented outfielders, you guys have business in Oakland, but then it's on to Anaheim, and Mike Trout, what he's been able to do at such a tender age, he is a special kind of ball player. You don't see a whole lot of guys like that. You've seen them all over the last long period of time in the major leagues. What are your thoughts on Trout? Does he remind you of anybody that you may have played against or watched?
I obviously see the highlights and, you see the numbers. Only saw him face-to-face last year, six games that we played them. He's a unique guy. I try to think of comparisons between body shape and gift set and, a guy who is willing to carry the torch and still have a humble attitude about what he's doing and trying to win. He's an incredible player, and I think that he's shown so far, and even that his young accomplishments, that he still is very, very hungry to compete and to win. So, he'll be tough. The Angels are playing really good baseball right now, and he's a big reason for that, obviously. Pujols is having a heck of a year. But hopefully we can go up there with the series in hand and find a way to compete with the Angels. I know that they had our number last year, and we're going to try to change that around this time around.
You know, every year it seems people want to write an obituary for baseball. It's not popular enough. Kids aren't interested. The pace is bad. Guys like Mike Trout, guys like Bryce Harper, some of these rookies we've seen, including some on the Twins roster. How do you feel about where baseball is headed with the young set?
I think MLB is trying to constantly find ways to market its players. It's more challenging than the NFL or the NBA. You've got quarterbacks, and you watch them play, and they're going to do something every day. And the same way with the NBA, you know, Jordan was going to get his 30, 35, if not 50. You know, baseball, you go out there, and a guy plays, and he gets walked a couple of times, strikes out, and doesn't steal a base. And it's you kind of get lost in the game day to day, even if you're a superstar. But I think we saw with the All-Star game, you know, the commercials, the different things. They're trying to find some of those faces, elevate them, and I think it's good for baseball. I think there is a nice young generation that's kind of latching onto our game, and hopefully we can continue to grow its popularity.
All right, and hopefully you and your young pups can go out and win a ball game today in Oakland. Paul, we appreciate the early wake-up call and joining us here today, and best of luck. Safe travels down to Anaheim.
All right, take care of yourself, Chris. We'll see you, man.
That's Paul Molitor. This is the Paul Molitor Show. Twins take on the A's a little bit later on. You know, we've been talking all week about the foul territory and the goofy setup there in Oakland. Joe DiMaggio is responsible for that. People don't realize DiMaggio, the Yankee Clipper, grew up in Martinez, California, just north of Oakland. Actually was a member of the A's front office when they moved to Oakland. One day, sitting in the stands of the then-new Coliseum, said, hey, you can't see home plate from up here. You got to move home plate out. That's why the diamond is the way it is, the old Yankee Clipper, and that's why there's so much foul territory at the Oakland Coliseum. If you missed any part of our show, want to revisit it, well, go ahead and wade into our website, twinsbaseball.com, see if you can dig it up there, and you can enjoy what Paul had to say about this one. A reminder, just after 2, Corey Provis has Inside Twins. We've got your pregame lineup card at 2:30, then just after 3 o'clock, first pitch, Tommy Malone, Jesse Chavez from Oakland. This has been another edition of the Paul Molitor Show. For an absent to Jack Morris, hopefully getting some good Z's in Oakland today. And for Paul Molitor, I'm Chris Atterbury, saying so long on your home for Twins baseball.
This has been a presentation of the Treasure Island Baseball Network.